Good morning. So, announcements. Yay! Good Friday, which is March the 29th, and we're going to see who would be interested in coming at 6 to do Seder. It would be Passover. Don't come hungry. It's not really like a dinner. It's not a meal, but it's a representation of the Passover. So if you are interested, we're trying to see how many people would be interested in coming. There will be a sign-up sheet in the fellowship hall for you to sign up so we can kind of get a gauge to see if there's interest in that. We have Bobby and Tina have decided to follow Jesus.
Amen.
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 We love that. The Lord loves that. Heaven loves that. So they have asked to be baptized.
Amen.
Yeah. So we're going to talk with Bobby and Tina. We're hoping that we're going to be able to, weather permitting. And when I say weather permitting, Bobby has asked to be submerged. So it's weather permitting because we can't submerge in the church. We talked about that. Chris Gorgas and I talked about it. And he was talking about maybe putting like one of those watering troughs downstairs in the basement. I said, I don't want to give Jeff Spung a coronary. So we'll try to see how the weather is to do an Easter Sunday outside. But we'll get with Bobby and Tina to see if maybe there's an alternative that we can do because they want to do it here at the church. They love us so much. Aren't we so blessed? They love us. We love them. So we're going to try to see what we can do here. And if we can't do the immersion here, then we'll do it where we can. Okay? But we'll see how the weather is. You're not going to want to do it outside with weather like this. I mean, they used to go down to the river, you know, back in the old days. It didn't matter. They went down, but we'll see. Yeah, let's go down. But if anyone else has made that decision and you want to be baptized, hey, we'll do it. We'll make a big celebration about it. Amen? No? Kim. So come let me know. We'll do it. Just one thing I want to say about baptism is the representation of what has happened to you on the inside. That's what it is. It's a representation. It is the change. It is what has happened to you on the inside through Jesus Christ. And you are publicly making a statement. You are publicly coming out and saying, I have decided I'm following Jesus. And you are proclaiming that. You are dying with Christ. When you go down into the water and when you come back, you are a new creation and resurrection just as Jesus Christ did. Okay, so that's baptism. It is outwardly, you are expressing what has happened to you on the inside. You have made that decision and you're committed to Jesus Christ. That's what it is, okay? So if you're interested in getting baptized, let us know. Also, we have had some that are interested in becoming members of Faith Church. Amen? Amen. And we are looking forward on the first Sunday of April, which is April 7th, to include that in our service. So if you are interested in becoming members of Faith Church, we'll have that service on the first Sunday of April. We're going to have a sign-up sheet for that, too. So if you're interested, we want to include you. We'll get with you in the planning and welcome our new members that are interested on that Sunday. What else? Newsletter articles. This is not on my list. You know how I am. This isn't part of the program. No, I'm just kidding. Get your newsletters to April if you have an article that you are wanting to put in so she can review. Okay, so get that done. All right. Easter egg hunt. Saturday, March 30th. The Easter egg hunt's going to be at 11:30. Volunteers, we need you to help us hide those eggs at 10 to 10:30. So if you are wanting to help us hide those eggs, we ask that you be here. Also, we're going to need kitchen help and cleanup. We are going to have a little bit of a small lunch available for those families that come and participate in our Easter egg hunt. And we need some help with the kitchen, making those hot dogs. putting little refreshments out for everybody. So if you're able, please come on that Saturday before Easter, the 30th, to help us with that. Also, some things that we like to have for the kids, because we do resurrection bingo. Get used to hearing about this, people, because I'm so excited about it. Everybody loves it. It's so much fun, and I want you to be part of it. It enriches your Easter experience, I feel. When you participate in Holy Week, and I know, you know, some people have a hard time with Easter eggs hunts because you're not focusing on Jesus Christ. Well, we do. We play this resurrection bingo game with the kids, and we tell them the story, the real meaning of Easter, through the resurrection bingo game. And it just enriches it. It just makes the Easter experience more meaningful. Some of the things that we do, we hide little golden eggs, and they get extra little special prizes, and also prizes with the resurrection bingo game. The neighborhood kids love basketballs, footballs, soccer balls, volleyballs, $10 at Ollie's. You can go stop by at Ollie's, buy a couple basketballs, footballs, soccer balls, or volleyballs. We'll be very appreciative. We give those out as prizes. Anything that your kids would like, your grandkids would like in an Easter egg basket, just grab a couple things. It doesn't have to be very much. We put that in there. And one of the things that the community loves about it is we are a small church. I love small churches. Guess what? I'm trying really hard to know everybody's name. I'm getting so much better about it. And some of these bigger churches that have big Easter events, they don't get it. They love that here, and I'm just so thankful to God that we're able to do it. They are out here in the grass and back lot of our church. Prayer request, Paul.
Amen.
Amen. Look at him. We're thankful for him. Thankful the Lord got him through surgery. He's healing. He's here, able to be here. We're thankful for that. Thankful, thankful. Continue to pray for Pastor Jeff and Tina. They still, you know, it's going to be a long road to recovery, but each and every day, Tina's posting us stuff, telling us how Pastor Jeff's doing, and the nurses that they're encountering, they're spreading the good news of Jesus Christ with them, sharing with them, and pray for him that we continue to see progress, continue to see his healing, and the Lord's going to get them there and continue to encourage them.
Amen.
We have a special prayer request. Sophia, they were at the hospital last night until early this morning, and she's been collapsing. So a call is going to have to be made in the morning to Children's to get her in for testing. So she's asked for prayer over Sophia. So if you could remember Sophia in your prayers, keep her in your prayers. Keep that mama's heart in your prayers as well.
Continue to pray for Tina and her surgery, her foot surgery coming up. Are there any other prayer requests that we need to do? All right, we're going to lift that up. We've seen it, haven't we, church?
Amen.
We've seen it. Continue to pray for Bradley Spung and Cindy Spung. Yes, Tina. Billy was having a stroke. Yes, Cheryl. Pray for Bob that spaces open up to where he can receive what he needs to receive. Mary Reddy, pray for her and going into hospice. Okay. Let's go to the Lord. Heavenly Father, we give you all the praise and the glory. Lord, when we come into this place, when we come into the body of Christ, when we come into this family and we share our lives with each other, and this is what you have called us to do as the body of Christ, that we be a house of prayer, that we be a house that is a testimony of what church looks like. And so we come before your throne of glory, Lord, and we lift all these prayer requests up to you, those that are needing healing, Lord, those that are needing your comfort and your grace. We lift them up to you, and we ask that you do what only you can do, that you move in ways that only you can move. And we come and we know of your great acts, of your miraculous signs that you've performed, not only in your word, but also in the lives that we have here at Faith Church. And so we stand on your word that you are our great physician. You are the mighty comforter. You are a prince of peace, and that we can rely and depend on you for all that we need, Lord. And so we ask you to move. We ask for your grace to come and pull us closer to you during these times and during those times of those that we love that need to see you, and that we're able to be that that they're able to see you through us. And all those people, those nurses, those doctors that are in charge, Lord, that you bless their hands with the gifts that you have placed in them to do the work, and you work through them to perform what you want to see done. We thank you for this time of praise and worship. The message that you have for us this morning, Father God, I pray that you open up our mind, you open up our heart and our spirit to receive what you have for us this morning. Though we're not going to leave here unchanged. We come with great expectation that we are going to hear a message from you, and then it's going to move us, it's going to lead us to be more like your Son Jesus Christ, that we remove the distractions, we remove what's going on in our lives outside of the sanctuary, and that this time we have set aside to hear from you, to read your word, to have an experience with the Holy Spirit here and right now in this place. Be with the praise band as they lead us into this time of praise and worship. We thank you for the work of their hands, Lord, the gifts that you have given them, that they share with us week after week after week. We just praise you and thank you for each and every one of them and those that have prepared the church for the work of your service. Be with Champions, Lord. Be with Celebrate Recovery and Turning Point, Lord, that we continue to be partners in your mission to build your kingdom here on earth as it is in heaven, reaching out into this community. You have us here for a reason, and let us go boldly with that mission. Strengthen us in our weakness, because we know that this mission is great, and this is what you've called us to do. And all these things this morning, and all these things that we ask in Jesus' name, amen.
Our greeting today is taken from Ephesians 2, verses 1 and 2, and also 4 and 6. Once you were dead because of your disobedience and your many sins, you used to live in sin just like the rest of the world, obeying the devil, the commander of the powers of the unseen world. In those days, you were living apart from Christ. You were excluded from the citizenship among the people of Israel. You did not know the covenant promises God has made to them. You lived in this world without God and without hope. But God is so rich in mercy. He loved us so much that even though we were dead because of our sins, he gave us life when he raised Christ from the dead. It is only by God's grace that you've been saved. For he raised us from the dead along with Christ and seated us with him in the heavenly realms because we are united with Christ Jesus.
Amen.
We've all had those days. We just don't know what the Lord's will is, and we struggle, and we just turn it over to him and ask him to give us the guidance and direction we need.
Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, you show us the way. You showed us the way to this church this morning. You showed us the way to follow you through your word. You showed us everything that we need. But, you know, sometimes our heads are a little hard. And sometimes we think about other things instead of focusing on you. For this day, this morning, we need to focus on you and worship you. For you have given us everything. And so we ask this day, dear Lord, that you would bless these gifts given to you in your honor. And for your glory, may they be multiplied so that we can do your work here on this earth. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, we just sang the song, I Saw the Light. I pulled out This Is My Bible to use. And so when I pulled it out today, I thought of it even more because it says this. When the flashlight grows dim and quits working, do you just throw it away? Of course not. Change the batteries. When a person messes up and finds themselves in dark places, do you cast them aside? Of course not. You help them change their batteries. Some need AA, attention and affection. Some need AAAs, attention, affection, and acceptance. Some need Cs, compassion. Some need Ds, direction. And if they still don't seem to shine, simply sit with them quietly and share your light with them. Amen? You know, we all need a change in batteries at times. I don't care how excited you get about being in church or helping others, but there's something inside of you that lights that never goes dim. You know, you can walk into a dark cave with no light, and they turn out all the lights in that cave, and you can't even see your hand in front of you, even if you stood and held it right in front of your eyes. But one small little match lit brightens the whole place. You know, that's what God does for us. He lightens our day, He lightens our load, and He gives us the light we need in everything we do. Amen? So we need to follow that light, share that light, and yes, sometimes we have to recharge our batteries or replace them, right? But God can do that for you. Just go to Him and ask for His help. And when He has that help for you, accept it and share it. Amen? Let's pray the prayer, "This is my Bible," and ask God to come into our lives to share His light so we can share it with others. This is my Bible. It contains the Word of God given to me. It tells me that I am made righteous through Jesus Christ and that I am the head and not the tail. Since I am a joint heir to the throne of glory, today I will allow what I hear to transform me to be more like Christ. God said it, I believe it, and that settles it. Amen.
This morning, we're going to continue our journey to the cross. We're still in the book of Mark. I got stuck in Mark. I didn't get stuck in Mark. It stuck me. The Lord said, stick with it. I said, okay. I went out of my comfort zone last week when I was given the message on the transfiguration. It was the first time I've given a message about the transfiguration, and God said, you need to understand this better, girl. So the best way you can understand it is you're going to read about it, you're going to study it, and you're going to preach on it. And I said, okay, that's what I'm going to do, I guess. So we're on our journey, and it's Mark 9, verses 14. It says, when they came to the disciples, and this is Jesus, and this is Peter and James and John coming down from the Mount of Transfiguration. And when they came to the disciples, they saw a large crowd around them and scribes disputing with them. When the whole crowd saw him, they were amazed and ran to greet him. He asked them, what are you doing? What are you arguing about? And someone from the crowd answered him, teacher, I brought my son to you. He has a spirit that makes him unable to speak. And whenever it seizes him, it throws him down. He foams at the mouth, grinds his teeth, and he becomes rigid. I asked your disciples to drive it out, but they couldn't. And he replied to them, you unbelieving generation, how long will I be with you? How long must I put up with you? Bring him to me. So they brought the boy to him. And when the spirit saw him, it immediately threw the boy into convulsions. He fell on the ground and rolled around, foaming at the mouth. How long has this been happening to him? Jesus asked the father. From childhood, he said. And many times it has thrown him into fire or water to destroy him. But if you can do anything, have compassion on us and help us. And Jesus said to him, if you can, everything is possible for the one who believes. Immediately, the father of the boy cried out, I do believe, help my unbelief. And when Jesus saw that the crowd was quickly gathering, he rebuked the unclean spirit, saying to it, you mute and deaf spirit, I command you, come out of him and never enter him again. And it shrieked. And throwing him into a terrible convulsion, the boy became like a corpse, so that many said he's died. But Jesus, taking him by the hand, raised him up, and he stood up. And may God have a blessing of the reading of his word this morning. Amen. That point in our life when our faith and unbelief collide. When you hear the words of faith and belief, they can seem like they mean the same thing, right? They coincide together.
They're interchangeable. Some might even think of them as identical twins. But you'll discover that faith and belief are more like cousins than identical twins. My sister, with her cosmetology background, she's always been good with her eyebrows. I'm jealous of her eyebrows. I am. They're the vocal point of your face, she says. Not your eyes, it's your eyebrows. Your eyebrows will draw attention to your eyes, Haley. And she says they don't have to be twins. They don't have to be sisters, but they got to be related. They got to be cousins. And that gives me comfort because I can never get my eyebrows right. They have to be related. They're not the same, but they're in close relation. And that's faith and belief. Faith is believing without any proof within your spirit. Faith believing in things hoped for. If I were to ask that question, what's the difference? Is there a difference? And a lot of us will have that conversation and we would agree. They're closely connected. The Greek word pistis, meaning faith and belief, trust, fidelity, firm, persuasion, firm conviction. Now, faith is confidence in what we hope for and assurance of what we do not see. To exercise faith is to have confidence of an expectation without the visible proof of it. The trustworthiness of the object that we're putting our faith into. When we have faith, we use faith all the time. You have faith that the pews aren't going to drop you like a dime on the floor. You have faith that they're going to be stable for you. Confidence in God to the point that it causes you to act. It reinforces the point. And we see that common thread of faith weaved throughout the Bible, don't we? Abraham, in faith, left his home and went out to a land that God had told him to go to. He didn't know where he was going. He had faith in what God told him to do. Noah built an ark by faith when it never rained before. Moses, and the list goes on and on. Of examples of the people that have had faith in the Bible, belief and acceptance that something is true and that something exists. Belief is acknowledging something is true. Belief doesn't automatically get us into action as faith does. An example of this, like we can believe that if we get on an airplane and we put a parachute on and we jump out, someone jumps out of the airplane and pulls that string that the parachute's gonna, and they're gonna be fine. I believe that. I believe that that happens when you put a parachute on and you jump out of an airplane and you pull the string, the parachute's gonna come out and you're gonna glide safely to the earth from thousands and thousands and thousands of feet above in the air. Now, do I have faith that that's what's gonna happen? Is that going to motivate me to do it? No, it's not. Sorry. I get weak in the knees just driving up hills here in Newark. My knees get weak. My elbows get weak. No, I don't want to put a parachute on. I don't have faith to motivate me to do that. See the difference? My faith is in who God is. The Bible says each person receives a measure of faith. Each of us have received a measure of faith from God. My belief is in what I think God will do. Faith is trust and firm knowledge of the character of God. My faith is that I know God is real. My belief is that that real God, is he going to act on my behalf? My faith is he is all-knowing. He is sovereign. He is omnipotent, all-powerful. He is full of compassion, grace. And when you really read the Old Testament, you see his patience. He is a patient God. Loyal love. He's faithful. He's a jealous God. He's jealous. He is mine and I am his. And when something gets in the way of us having that closeness, he is jealous for me. That's my faith. My faith that he can do anything but fail. My belief based on my faith. And we know that God causes everything to work together for the good of those who love God and that are called according to his purpose. He will not leave you or forsake you. Do not fear, be dismayed. My faith rests in the character of God, but my belief, my expectation, my hope, my trust in what God is going to do, how He's going to act to intercede in my life. Have you ever had that doubt that God's going to do for you what He says He's going to do for you? Am I the only one? Am I the only one where your faith, what you know, that is steadfast and true, and then a situation, a struggle, a trial comes up in your life, and then there's that unbelief. Have you ever had that? To have faith, the struggle to believe it is possible to have faith in God, that He is real. But then life hits. Real life, real struggles, real temptation. Because remember, Jesus said, there are no cheap seats. Remember, church? There are no cheap seats. Those times come, and then that enemy comes and speaks it. And he's like, is that really what God meant? Is that really what God meant for you? Situations and struggles that open the door to allow doubt to creep into your mind. When you start to doubt what God isn't going to do on your behalf. And if you haven't had these moments in your life, just wait, because they're coming. I'm not going to sugarcoat it for you. Because once you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior into your life, the devil put a target on you. And your faith in who you know what God is and who you know Jesus Christ is, the truth, not what someone else tells you, but what the Word tells you, that faith is going to have to be louder than what you're feeling. Because what you're going to feel is doubt. What you're going to feel is that you're unworthy. What you're going to feel is that God isn't for you. He's against you. Feelings are fleeting. The devil uses our feelings to attack us. I have faith. When you give me a word out of the Bible of what God has done, and we're reading that, you know, when we read through the book of Exodus and we see the miraculous things, the impossible things, I have no problem in believing that that is what happened. I have faith. I struggle with the belief. I struggle with the doubt that He's going to do it, that He means to do it for me. And it comes from that feeling of unworthiness that, look, I get it. I'm reminded of how unworthy I am. I am not qualified to do what I'm doing. I'm not, I'm telling you. I went to Jesus, I got my Jesus license. Yes, I did. But you see, you have a pastor. You know how to spell pastor? P-A-S-T-O-R. You have a pastor that has a past. P-A-S-T. Okay? I'll be up front with you. And I know a lot of you don't know my testimony, and that's okay. If you want to hear about it, save a couple hours and I'll tell it to you. But I do. I have a past. I've lived life. Then things have happened. Turmoil has happened in my life. Disappointment has happened in my life. Rejection has happened in my life. Like most pastors that have had the education, that have been brought up, I was brought up in the church, you know, and all of these things, they had to learn these things in seminary to be able to counsel you, to be able to minister to you. Well, God had other plans for me, because guess what? I've been through it. I've been through some stuff, and God's been faithful. So yeah, I get it. Some people, you're right. I'm not. I can tell you right now. I'm reminded of my unworthiness, but guess what? God is faithful. And just like Moses, He said, I'm going to be with you. I know that you can't talk. I'll speak for you. He fills in my gaps. And thank God, because my gaps can sometimes be very, very, very big. But sometimes I have that doubt. The Satan, he says, you really think that you were worthy to do that? You really think that you're capable of doing what it is you think God called you to do? And the truth of the fact of the matter is, no. It is by His strength, it is by His grace, it is by His mercy that it happens. And the same is with you. What God calls you to do, the disciples were the same thing. He uses people that no one else is going to use, because He sees in them what He can make and mold them to be. So when the devil tries to tell you, when your heart is not matching what your brain is saying, because that's where the enemy attacks you, is what you're thinking, what you're saying to yourself. You're going to have that firm foundation of faith. This father, he had that moment. His faith, his heart was telling him what he needed to do, and it was to go and find Jesus. He had heard about what Jesus had done. He had heard about the healings that had been going on, and he had to go and he had to find Jesus. And he believed. He went, couldn't find Jesus. He found his disciples. The disciples couldn't do it. He said, "Your faithless generation." They had found out this boy had this evil spirit. He was convulsing, and Jesus comes down out of the mount and he comes into chaos. I love that. Jesus is walking into your chaos. And he's like, "What is going on?" And the father says, "I came to your disciples. They couldn't do it. If you can, if you can." And Jesus, "If." "Well, all things are possible for those that believe." Oh, but. He had faith. "I do believe, but help my unbelief." He believed that Jesus could do it, but could he do it for me? Could he do it for my son? Could he do it for my situation? And he admits it. He admits his unbelief. "I do believe, but help my unbelief. I do believe you did it for other people. I do believe that you did it for the woman with the bleeding. I do believe that you walked on the water. Well, all the things that I heard about you, Jesus, I do believe it, but help my unbelief that you're going to do it for me, that you meant it for me." That's what he's saying. He had faith, and he admitted his unbelief. "I never doubted that he is able. My doubt was if those promises, those mighty acts, are they meant for me too?" What do you do when you have that faith? You've accepted Jesus Christ. You read about God. You read about the things that he's done, but your mind hasn't caught up with your heart yet. What do? Pastor with a past. Remember that. If anybody asks you, "I got a pastor with a past." P-A-S-T. It's in the name. I thought about this and I thought, okay, what gets you through it? And when I was down in that pit, when I came to this altar at this church, nobody here, and I'm pouring my heart out to God because I knew I believed in him. I just was having trouble believing that it was meant for me. Someone had given me this book, the Bible Promise book. And I had faith in God, but it was a collision of my unbelief. And what you've got to do is you got to speak to the devil. You got to speak to the enemy, God's word. And you got to give yourself time and grace to have your mind catch up with your heart. I'm going to say that again. Time for your mind to catch up with your heart, because your heart, your spirit, Jesus is speaking to you. He's telling you, calling out to you, pulling you closer with his grace. He's chasing after you, but the enemy is attacking you and saying, no, that's not what he meant, is it? You pull out the word of God. Like, I have receipts in here of when I was making payments on the house that I had on land contract. Basically, Brent, it wasn't mine yet. And the devil was telling me, "There is no way you're going to get that house in your name. It is never going to happen for you. The things that has happened to you, the pit that you're in, you are never going to recover." And he kept telling me, Well, guess what? I have a house in my name. It is mine, signed, sealed, delivered. It's mine. And it was not because of anything I could do. I'm saying it was not of any hard work that I did. Don't get me wrong. I worked my job. But it wouldn't have mattered how long I had worked, because what had been done had me over $160,000 in a pit financially. I would never, ever be able to see the light if it weren't for God. People would have looked at me and have been like, "But God." And I took out this book, this Heavenly Chimes. I'm so thankful. So just little Heavenly Chimes from Jesus. It's okay, we're going to keep going. And I get out this book and it talks about fear. I mean, I have things highlighted in here that I would just speak the word of God to it. And that's how you bring it. And I see a lot of people out here out with your phones out. Hey, guess what? If you can look things up on your phone, Facebook, TikTok, whatever, guess what? You can look up the Word of God too. And if you're having a bad time, if you're having a difficult time with your belief, you pull up some scripture. And even better, get out the Word in the printed book. Because then you know it's true. Then you know that nobody's added something to it. Because guess what? That happens. You can't depend on what's on the internet, can you? No. So I'd rather have a book. And you get it out, and you start praying the Word of God. And if the Bible's too big for you, I got some little pocket ones. I went out and bought them. You don't have an excuse. You don't have an excuse to walk around like you're defeated and that you have faith, but you don't believe. You don't have an excuse because the God has given you everything that you need in His Word. And I'm not preaching to you, I'm preaching to me. How many times have I called? How many times have I called April? And I'm like, girl, what am I doing? A lot. Or my mom. Or my kids. And Grayson's like, her Holy Spirit's erupting. Watch out. And so I got some. I don't have one for everyone, but I know the position that we're in at this church. And the Spirit is moving in this church. People are accepting Jesus Christ. People are turning their lives around. And there are things coming up. The devil's going to attack it. And I don't want you rocking around none prepared for it, because you got a pastor who has a past that's been through it. And sometimes I still fall for it, and I've got to get my little book out and say, what does it say? Let me read. As you have put your trust in Christ Jesus, the Lord, to save you from the punishment of sin, now let Him lead you in every step. Let Him lead you in every step. I have this underlined too, by the way. Have your roots planted deep in Christ. You got to dig down. When the devil's after you, he's got a target on you. And you have that moment in your life where he's got a target on you because you've turned your life over. And that collision of your faith and your unbelief, they collide. Get your strength from Him. Grow in Him. Let Him make you strong in the faith as you have been taught. Your life should be full of thanks to Him. That's Colossians 2, 6 and 7. Highlighted it, underlined it, read it, believed it, and I said it out loud because I had to keep repeating it to myself in order to get my mind caught up with my heart. My heart believed it. My heart knew it, but the devil was attacking it. So you read it, you pray it, you speak it out loud. Then you recall. You recall, oh, look, oh, no, there it is. You recall the things that have happened. And if you can't find examples in your own life of how the miracles or what God's brought you out of, then you can look at the people at this church. Come to us. We can give you some. We can give you lots. In fact, come to me, because you have a pastor with a past. I'll give you some examples of what you can recall of how God's moved in this church. You don't have to look too far. We have had miracles happen at this church. We've had healings happen at this church. We have living, walking, breathing testimonies of what God can do. You recall it. You recall it. You remember it. So you read it. You remember it. First chapter at James, it says, therefore, let us with privilege approach the throne of grace. That is the throne of God's gracious favor. And this is from the Amplified Version. With confidence and without fear, so that we may receive mercy for our failures and find His amazing grace to help in time of need. An appropriate blessing at just the right time. Without reproach. We come to Him. You know, because sometimes with my children, when they come to me for help, when they come to me for mercy to try to figure something out, I want to say, you are so lucky. You are so lucky that you have a mama who cares. Or sometimes I tell them, act like you have a mama who cares. Act like it. Brush your hair, brush your teeth, clean your fingers. But God doesn't do that. Thank you, God. He does not. We can come boldly to His throne of glory in our weakness, in our unbelief. We can be honest with Him, and He doesn't reproach us. He doesn't say, "You're lucky, little girl. You are so lucky." No, He loves us. He's like, come here. Tell me. That throne of grace, His gracious favor, we can come with confidence and without fear that He is going to do what He said He's going to do, that it is meant for you. It is meant for you. It is meant for me. And He said it in a minute. And if He doesn't do what you've asked for Him to do, He's going to do something better. I've said it before. I'm going to say it again. You know how many houses I prayed over and anointed that I thought this is the one? This is the one. And every time, no, no, no. And then I thought, okay, God, okay. I'm trying. I'm reading it out loud. I have faith that you can do it. I'm trying not to have unbelief. I'm coming boldly to your throne of glory. And then all of a sudden, I love that in the Bible, when Jesus or God, when they come, all of a sudden they come in and everything just turns around. Because you know what? You get to that point where your back's up against the wall. There's nothing else more that you can do. Why? Because God wants the glory for it. He wants you to get to the point, and He wants everybody to see that it got to the point where only God could do what He could do. And here we are. You recall. You remember what God's done in your life, and not just your life. You recall what He's done in the Word of God. And if you don't know, you start reading. There's so many. Caleb. We read about Caleb going into the promised land with those other guys to go spy. And they had grapes. They had to carry these grapes on the poles. They were so big. Huge grapes. Everyone else, all the other men that went in there, except for Joshua and Caleb, all those giants are too big. We can't do it. They'll overtake us. And Caleb stood up and he said, "Let's go. Let's go in and do it." And in Matthew, in the same story, Jesus talks about the mustard seed of faith. And that if you have a mustard seed of faith, when you speak to the mountain, you know how tiny a mustard seed is? It's like a pencil tip. But when a mustard seed grows into the tree, it has the possibility of growing 15 feet tall from that little seed. He said, when you have a mustard seed of faith, you can speak to that mountain and it will move. He's not talking about a literal mountain. He's talking about the giants in your life. He's talking about the doubts, the unbelief in your life. You need a mustard seed of faith. And you start talking to it. You start saying the word of God to it. You start speaking it. You can move it. That's His word. That's His promise. Amen. I have these for those that want them. Like I said, I don't have one for everybody, but this will produce, this will get your mind caught up to your faith. Amen. And let us pray. Lord, we just thank You for those little heavenly chimes this morning. I pray that it didn't distract anybody from Your word, that it was just music to our ears that went along with the message, Lord. And as we come to the end of our service, our time together, we thank You for this message. We thank You that we have examples of people in Your word that are like us, that have faith to come to You, and that the situation is in their life where their faith and their belief and their unbelief collide. Because we have it in our life every day. We are confronted with doubt every day. Is it meant for us? And so I pray for the strength over everyone here, over each and every one of us, Lord, that we recognize the struggle and the doubt. And just as the Father brought His Son to You seeking healing and hope, grant us the courage to bring our own to You, trusting in Your unwavering power, that Your care. And may we take that Father's plea. I believe, help our unbelief, Lord. And may we go to what we know. We know your word. You have given us your word. You've given us your word in the Bible. You've given us your word that we can have easy access to it. It is easy to access your word. We have no excuse. We have no excuse to walk around like wavering unbelievers. Because we have put our faith in you. We have declared that we are disciples of Jesus Christ. We know it's going to be hard. We have no excuse to show our faith. Give us that strength. Give us that desire in our spirit to go boldly out, to come to your throne, and to leave this place and go out like we have a Father who cares. Like we have a Father who loves us. You said it, you mean it, and that settles it. Amen. We ask all these things in His name. Amen.